you may be out there and you know Michael Reed and you see me getting excited for Jesus, it's because I was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. But now I come to tell you that I am redeemed. Listen to this. Jesus has changed my whole life. Is anybody ask you just who I am? Why won't you tell them that I am redeemed? Where there was hate, love now abides. Where there's confusion, peace now reigns. I am walking with Jesus. I'm a child. And it's all because I am redeemed. Can I get a worshiper with me to say, I'll tell of his favor and I'll tell of his love. I will tell of his goodness. He purchased my redemption with his own precious blood, and from sin I have been set free. Can I hear a worshiper say, I am redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. I'm bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am,
no, I won't worry,
I know you're here, so who can bring me down? You never leave, you don't forget me. You're listening, even when I don't make a sound. Oh, 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 heaven knows that I've never been perfect. Oh, 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 there's nothing I can do to deserve it. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though my brokenness has seen someday, it's never ending. It goes as far as the east is from the west. Oh, 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 no, I never found the words to explain it. Oh, 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 cause there's nothing in the world so amazing. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though my brokenness has seen some days, your mercy still brand new. It's good to be loved by you. So good to be loved by you. Yeah, yeah, good to be loved by you. Ooh. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, all day, all night, it's good to be loved by you. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, all day, all night, it's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though my brokenness has seen some days, your mercy is still brand new. It's good to be loved by you. It's good to be loved by you. Though your faithfulness will never fail, you'll always see me through. It's good to be loved by you.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Father God, I that you've taken us on this journey, a journey into you. I thank you that you're teaching us your ways. I thank you that you're imparting your wisdom. I thank you that in the middle of all of that, you are actually delivering us. And you're showing us that you don't have to do anything any one way. You're God. But you're showing us that we have a responsibility as well. I thank you for that this morning. I thank you that you're strengthening us with your strength. I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord and our Savior, and continue it supernaturally by the power of your own Holy Spirit that's so phenomenal that it can work inside us and outside of us and around us all at the same time. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. Help us with the growing pains. Help us with the stretching. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I was trying to think for a minute. There's so much going on around. You know, yesterday, God healed me with that message, and I thank him for that. And then he gave me this message here. But this is, we're working up to changing our garments. We're working up to it, okay? Now, I know that some of you are going through some pulling, but if I were you, I wouldn't let God have to work too hard to stretch me, because I'm going to show you why this morning. That's not healthy for you. That means that some part of you is rejecting, especially if you take time and go through the word after these messages. So this is what God gave me. Now, you got to understand, if anybody should be like feeling any kind of way, it should be me. I'm giving this stuff to me, for me first, and I'm just trying to share it with you. But I know it's all for my good, and you got to know that too. You see, when God uses a word like ignorant, I mean, I sit up and take notice. Okay? So this is where God started out. I didn't know where he was going. He started out with Psalm 73:22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was before thee. Now, when God started off giving you something like that, I mean, he got my attention. Then he went to Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Uh-oh. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down, loving to slumber. That's Isaiah 56:10. Goes to Romans 11:24-26. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grasped contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion, you know, the church, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So I said, okay, God, where are we going with this? Up right now, I want you to pray and I want you to ask God to help you get this. Whatever it is in here for you, I want you to ask God, you know, talk to him. I got to get it. That's what I had to do. And we know God respects faith. He's not a respecter of a person, but he's a respecter of faith. Can you do that? God, I got to get this. Whatever this is, whatever my part is, I got to get this. Did you tell him? Is your head still bowed? Are you still talking to him? Are you telling him I got to get this? Okay. You know what God said to me then? Because I was saying, what is it? And what is it I'm so ignorant about? And why am I ignorant about it? Or am I ignorant because I'm just overlooking it? Or am I ignorant because I've never learned it? He said, go to Matthew chapter 23, verse. So when I went to Matthew 23, verse 12, it said, Jesus is talking here. So I noticed it's a life lesson I'm about to learn. Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You see, probably all of us recognize that there are various kinds of laws. Laws that operate throughout the universe. We know that there are physical laws. But I want you to understand something this morning, especially those of you that are new in Christ, haven't been that long. This is perfect timing for you. The Holy Spirit says, but there are also spiritual laws. So I said, okay, we about to embark on one or two or three or whatever. I know God. He said, yep. He was explaining to me that, you know, aligned to some degree with the physical laws. The physical laws that govern our lives and the physical laws that govern the universe. And the most common one is the law of gravity. We understand that the law of gravity is a physical law. Oh, yeah, there's something I want you to get, Erica. And I want you to get this way all over you. I want you to get this in your spirit, soul, and body. He said, you know that the world says, you know, that we break natural laws and that we can break physical laws and there are consequences. He said, but they don't understand when they break my laws, because in actuality, Erica, no human being can break my laws, my spiritual laws. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this might be a bit too deep for me. He said, if and when we go against God's spiritual laws, that God's spiritual laws actually break us. I said, uh-oh. He said, that's right. He said, when men and women go against my spiritual laws, break them. He said they break them in the spiritual realm and they break them in the natural realm. I'm talking about God's spiritual laws break you in the spiritual realm. And when you go against God's spiritual laws, They break you in the natural realm. He said, well, most people don't recognize or even acknowledge that reality. He said, but there's spiritual laws that govern what happens to us. There are spiritual laws that governs what happens to us in our individual lives. There are spiritual laws that govern and what happens to us in the universe at large. He said, now I want you to take a look this morning at one of those spiritual laws. I said, okay. Which one? He said, I want you to look at the spiritual law of humility. He said, this precept is stated for the first time in the New Testament by Jesus himself. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So now, it's in there more than once. That's how it is to our Father. The same law or statute is in Luke 14:11 and again in Luke 18:14. Can you post those for me? I see I forgot to write the scriptures. Luke 14:11 and again in each of these verses, the Holy Spirit was said, that's why I forgot to write it. The Holy Spirit used this reference to me. In each of these verses, the law comes to us from the lips of Jesus. Woo! And you can see that this is a principle statute which Jesus himself attached importance. Jesus laid special emphasis here, and Jesus continually reminds his hearers that there is a law at work in our lives, one that governs the entire universe, and it is the law that relates to humility and pride. But the way Jesus outlines this statue emphasizes that who exhibits pride will be humbled. And whoever exhibits humility will be exalted. Now, this is a universal law of God, exhibited by Jesus on the earth as an example for you and I. This law of humility applies anywhere to any person at any time and in any situation. You see, it's a mandate. It's a mandate from God to us, for ourselves. Jesus says, he who humbles himself. Now, this is what I want you to get. Jesus places the responsibility of humility on the person concerned. Can you post that for me? Three people. Jesus places the responsibility of humility on the person concerned. Humility is not a nice religious emotion. Humility doesn't even operate in the area of emotions. It is not the primary operation of humility in your emotions. You see, sometimes people fake it. They try to feel humble. And then they check themselves to see if they're feeling humble enough. Brothers and sisters, rather than being in the area of the emotions, understand this morning, humility, post this, eight people, humility is in the area of the will. Did you get me? Humility is in the area of your will. See, over there in the book of James, what does it say? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That happens to be James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself. You and I cannot ask somebody else to do what God is looking for you to do. It is your mandate. It is for your own goodwill, and it is your own responsibility. The Bible says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Goes on to say, I'm in 1 Peter 5:5-6, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor. You hear this? God shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I hope you're getting this morning. Humble yourselves. Now listen to this. As God began to work in my understanding, oftentimes God will create certain circumstances order to help us to humble ourselves. But you got to understand this. Still, only you and you alone can make the right response. Look what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. He was talking about the way he dealt Israel in the wilderness after he had brought his people out of Egypt. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his command, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You see, God needed to deal with pride in the Israelites after they had been redeemed out of Egypt. So he created a special situation. He put them in the wilderness where they were dependent upon him. Are you hearing me? He put them in the wilderness where they were dependent upon him in the most obvious way. They were dependent upon him for the water they drank, and they were dependent upon him for the food they ate. In that situation, God showed them their total dependence upon him. So what did he do? He humbled them. God created a situation in which the reasonable response for them would have been to humble themselves, to acknowledge their total dependence upon God. But the majority of the Israelites never really learned that lesson. Although God humbled them, brothers and sisters, they never did humble themselves. That is a potential danger that we all need to acknowledge. God can create the situation and the circumstances. God can even help us in those circumstances. But only you and I, only we can really humble ourselves. Why? Because it rests with a decision of our wills. It rests with a decision of your will and my will. You see, humility, being humble, actually requires the appropriate action on your part and on my part. Say that again, Erica. Humility requires the appropriate action on your part and on my part. You got to see this. You got to get it. Humility is a decision of your own will. And this decision, having been made, must be expressed in the appropriate action. Jesus gave us a vivid example of this truth in Luke 14:7-11. Jesus spoke about the conduct of people invited to a wedding feast. Each person who received an invitation had two alternatives, had two different ways that they could act. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. However, when you are invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, friend, move to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. At the end of the parable, Jesus expressed this same spiritual law that we're talking about this morning. The spiritual law of humility. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, there are certain places of honor, and there are other places of less honor. When we enter into this feast, we've been invited. I'm talking about the feast of the Lord. We should not seek out the most honorable place. Rather, we should seek out a humble place and sit there. You see, humility is expressed in the appropriate action. Appropriate action. It's not to take a high place. We must not promote ourselves. We must wait to be promoted by God. And it happens. It happens through the application of the law of humility. In our world today, it applies in every area of your life and mine. This law of humility can be the key to your promotion in the kingdom of God. How do you and I get promoted by God? Simple. By humbling ourselves. What is the way up? The way up in Christ Jesus is down. The way down in Christ Jesus is the way up. If we want to go up, we must start by going down. But if we start by going up, we will end up by going down. It is your own responsibility to humble yourself before God. It is your responsibility to humble yourself in serving one another. It is your responsibility to wear the garment of humility. Brothers and sisters, this garment of humility, we have to put it on. We have to clothe ourselves with it. And remember this, our Father God will often create certain circumstances in your life, in my life, in our lives, to help us to humble ourselves. But it is only us. It's only you. It's only me that can make the right response, that can take the appropriate action when God is working himself to humble us as he is making us into God-made men and God-made women. Brothers and sisters, It is your own responsibility to humble yourself and serve one another. It is your own responsibility. But it is God that has given us the spiritual law of humility. Jesus said, and he's saying right now, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles him or herself will be exalted. As I said earlier, there are various kinds of laws that operate throughout the universe. We know that there are physical laws, but there are also spiritual laws of God, sometimes called statutes, identified as commandments. But there's one thing I want you to remember this morning. If you go against God's spiritual laws, they are designed to break you. I'm going to say it again. If you go against God, they are designed to break you in both the spiritual realm and the natural realm. You see? These spiritual laws of God govern what happens to us in our lives and what happens to us in this world, in this universe at large. Jesus, no. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, God says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Humble yourself, brothers and sisters, before the mighty hand of God. And it is he that shall exalt you in due season. It is he that shall exalt you. It is he that shall exalt you. If you got this, and you post in the chat room, I got it. Send me a text. I got it.
First thing in the morning, Jesus in my life.
I've got it.
You got it. Did you really get it? Did you get it this morning?
I got it.
Did you really get it? Did you get it?
Jesus in my life.
I've got the real thing.
Jesus.